Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here speaking of the arts, as he is just about every Friday. Right now, we are talking about an amazing event that's happening in Santa Fe. It's the Disappeared, Los Desaparecidos, the Disappeared collaborative project, Art Born from the Need to Tell. It's a series of events centering around an exhibition at Site Santa Fe that opens tonight from 5 to 7. The exhibitions and films, lectures, and workshops will be taking place over the next 3 months. And today we're joined by the exhibition curator, Laurel Reuter, who is the director of the North Dakota Museum of Art, which originated the exhibition. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And writer Lawrence Wechsler joins us, and he has not only written for the essay, but he's an award for the catalog of Los Desaparecidos. He's an award-winning writer whose latest book is called Everything That Rises, A Book of Convergences, and it's actually the winner of the National Book Critics Circle Award. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Juliet Myers, who is the Director of Education and Public Programs at Site Santa Fe, joins us as well.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So this is an incredible exhibition. The two of you, Laurel Reuter and Lawrence Wechsler, will be in conversation tonight at the Lensic at 7 o'clock. The Disappeared. This is a phenomenon, a horrifying phenomenon of Latin America. When and where in Latin America did this whole phenomenon of people being disappeared take place?
Throughout the Southern Cone in the last three decades of the last century, and also a 50-year civil war in Colombia, and a long 33-year war in Guatemala, and then on up into Central America. So throughout Latin America in the last part of the 20th century.
And parenthetically, by the way, for that matter, in Burma yesterday.
In Burma yesterday.
What happened?
The monks have all been, all these monks who were out there have suddenly been disappeared, and nobody knows where they are. Many of them have been killed.
So what happened? What actually happened? Where did it start, if you can put a starting point on the Latin American phenomenon?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's understand what this specific phenomenon is, that military regimes wanted to make their opponents go away, but they found an extremely effective way of doing it, which allowed them deniability. People suddenly were taken off the streets. Nobody knew where they went, and they were in fact killed. But when their families or their colleagues went looking for them, parenthetically, people who were very active against the oppressive forces, suddenly they couldn't be active against the oppressive forces because they were just looking for their friends. And the military would say, literally, this, I'm not making this up. They would say to women, the wives, they'd say, "Oh, your husband, he just went off with some other woman," you know, or "We have no idea where he is," and so forth. It was incredibly demoralizing, I mean, ravaging to the whole society. In addition, it just said this whiff of terror. If you want to talk about terrorism, I mean, terrorism is not one building coming down. Terrorism is your neighbors all over the country suddenly losing their children, their pregnant daughters, their fathers, who just, poof, are off the streets. Meanwhile, what is in fact happening to them is they're being taken to these garrets, to these dungeons, and tortured, and then killed, and then just buried in mass burial grounds. And this thing happened, I mean, it begins to happen all over the rim, but one of the places where, the United States has tremendous involvement in it because of the national security doctrine, the College of the Americas, where literally many of these dictators were trained. Not so much that we...
The School of the Americas.
The School of the Americas in Panama originally. It still exists, by the way, in Fort Benning.
Right.
Not necessarily... we didn't necessarily train them in how to torture, but one of the things that we did is we brought them together and they all exchanged notes and things and so forth. And then years later, surprise to surprise, many of the people trained there originally to be good generals or whatever end up as the heads of these countries all over. And they're doing this to students, to union activists, to land reformers, and so forth.
And it was always right-wing military dictatorships on the one hand, and then what left-of-center people who were being attacked.
Well, but also civil wars.
Yeah.
Or at least in the exhibition, we've broadened it to include the civil wars because disappearances had spread. And in those countries, especially Guatemala and Colombia, it was always against the peasants and the land, the people who worked the land and lived from the center, whereas it was urban, usually, in the rest of the places. And torture was very important to it. Torture was a part of the definition.
The phenomenon of torture is something that is very hard to talk about. Nobody wants to hear about it. And I think one of the things that is incredible about this exhibition is that at Site Santa Fe is that the viewers of the exhibition are really given access. There's ways in. It's very human. It doesn't repel you. People are drawn into it. How did you go about choosing the art that is in the show?
I made the decision early on that I wanted artists who had actually experienced it or lived in these countries. I wanted it to be their art, not some wealthy middle-class American kid who was doing some, a very good artist, not, yeah, I'm not saying they're not, but dealing with somebody else's subject. And I think that war has to be defined not politically and not according to this decision was made by the generals to do this for these reasons. But real war exists on the ground where the bomb hits and the local people are killed. And so I made the decision that it would be artists dealing with their own experience of it. And so we have three generations. We have those who lived through it. We have the children whose parents were disappeared. And we have children born into the aftermath of those disappearances. So the artists are bringing their own emotional experience to it. But they're very good artists, so it's not sentimental.
One of the things that's remarkable about this show, first of all, that it came out of North Dakota is just amazing.
Indeed it is.
I mean,
get further away.
Well, imagine my surprise. I mean, I'm sitting minding my own business, and a few years ago I get an email inviting me to come to give a talk about the disappeared in North Dakota because there was going to be this show. I wasn't expecting much, and I go there, and it was just an amazing show, an incredible show. One of the things that's so incredible about it is that Laurel Reuter, who you've just been listening to, went down there for years basically looking at everything. And what's amazing about the show is not only what's in the show, but what isn't. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of artists making work, heartfelt work, painful, you know, thing. Their stories are as valid as they invest, but it doesn't quite work as art. I mean, or doesn't, maybe it doesn't communicate to us. It might work in Chile, but not for us and so forth. The incredible, the exquisite taste and selectivity of what Laurel has done to make precisely the show that you just described that you can go into and that it communicates to us so profoundly is really one of the amazing things about the show. The show has, is it 15 artists?
Yeah, I think so.
15. Well, it has 15 artists.
But then a collaboration of 13 more.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it has 15 pieces.
Major,
and
yeah.
And a 16th artist, who is Laurel, who's really done an amazing job putting this thing together.
And this is, ladies and gentlemen, who might just be tuning in, the exhibition that opens tonight from 5 to 7 at Site Santa Fe, Los Desaparecidos, The Disappeared. You have toured this to various countries in Latin America, and it's continuing on after Site Santa Fe to various places, both in the United States and in Latin America. What are the responses like from the public, in both here and...
Yeah. Just one comment about what we were talking about earlier. I was at the opening in Uruguay, and I overheard... I understand enough Spanish to overhear the gossip, but I don't really get much of it. And the chief curator is talking to another curator, and he said, it came from North Dakota, and it was curated by someone who doesn't even speak Spanish. And I just laughed. And I think in many ways I was able to do this because of the distance. I did not deal with curators because curators always have their own agenda, their own artists. I dealt with artists. And it allowed me to, I didn't have any obligations. And so I really was able to just engage with the art. And I think that was very helpful, not speaking Spanish. How was it received? It opened in Buenos Aires?
Well, first it opened in North Dakota. Talk about that.
Yes, it opened in North Dakota, and people drove 200, 300, 400, 500 miles to see it if they had their heart invested in some way. Our people said, I just didn't know. And that was the reason that I originally had put the exhibition together, because I knew our people didn't know. And here, now people, even the last 3 years, they know more than when I opened it a year ago in North Dakota. Here they know more. Then it went to Argentina, and the grandmothers always come to the opening, the grandmothers of the Plaza de Mayo, and they're crying, and they kiss me, and they're so happy.
Now, let's tell the audience who the grandmothers are.
These were these were mothers who had children were disappeared, and every Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, they would march in the Plaza de Mayo quietly in a circle, and they would be carrying photographs above their head of their missing children. And they would be wearing little white kerchiefs, which were, in fact, the diapers. You save the diaper, the first diaper of your child. And it was one of the most successful nonviolent protests in the 20th century.
Now, by the way, why it's called the grandmothers that disappeared, and this is one of the most powerful pieces in the show, is that 30,000 people were disappeared in Argentina. Of those, several hundred were women who were pregnant at the moment they were disappeared. It is known that as a systematic policy, those women were kept alive. The husbands were killed right off the bat, or tortured and killed, but the women were kept alive until they delivered, at which point the babies were snatched from them, the women were killed, and the babies were given to military families that were having trouble conceiving. These children were raised unaware of their background, but they had grandmothers, the mothers of the pregnant women, who are the grandmothers disappeared, and for years those women have been looking for their grandchildren. This incredible piece that's there, that just occurs to me, we haven't really described any of the piece, but this is a good one to describe. The grandmothers went to a collaborative of artists in Buenos Aires, and they said, we've just noticed that our grandchildren are now becoming the same age, 20, 25, that their parents were when they were killed, and we're still looking for them. Is there anything you can do to help us? And these people came up with an incredible idea, which you'll see here, which is that they would put a picture of the father and the mother at the age that they were kidnapped, and next to it a mirror, and then another one, and next to it a mirror. By the way, 285 of these instances. And it's like a maze of these mirrors and these things. And the idea was that everybody from Buenos Aires or from Argentina could come and look around, but in many cases, if you were a 20-year-old, 25-year-old who had some doubts, if you had been born in a particular year to a military family, and you wondered about it.
And you knew you were adopted.
Well,
no, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't necessarily
know. You probably
wouldn't know. You might not know, but you were wondering, or, you know, in any case, you could be going through there and suddenly see, you'd be standing there looking at yourself, looking at these two people, and it would be obvious that was the case.
That these are your parents.
And this has actually happened.
People have identified their own parents that way.
Now, the thing that to me is takes this thing beyond just being uncanny and a chill of recognition, and by the way, you just can't go through this thing without being overwhelmed. But the genius of this is that when that happens, those people are taken out of the exhibit. This is a gorgeous work of art that is designed to disappear. If it is successful over years, it will get smaller and smaller and smaller.
And we're down to 200.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. We took 5 out in Montevideo. And the day that we opened, 1 was found.
It's incredible. I was just watching a movie last night on this subject called The Official Story.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Which is an Argentine movie from the mid-80s and highly recommended if people want to see a movie on this subject. But the reaction of people in Latin America, I mean, in Argentina, in Chile, in Uruguay, in Peru, how strong is the sense of denial there all these years later? How strong is the sense of people wanting to know? How do Latin American people react?
They react with overwhelming emotion. When I started the exhibition, people in Argentina were saying, don't touch it, don't do this.
And they were.
At that point. But so much has happened in their courts. and in their governments with the recognition of what has gone on.
Including yesterday.
Yes, including yesterday.
What was his name? A Catholic priest, Father Christian von Wernich, was sentenced to life in prison. He was a Catholic priest for participating in the so-called dirty war.
The exhibition is so timely in those countries. And there are still people who are uncomfortable, and you really don't bring up the subject unless they bring it up, because you don't know what side they're on or how they feel about it. One of the staff at the Museum of the Barrio, El Museo, in New York City, on the last day of the exhibition, he was very excited. His parents were coming from Argentina, and they had never talked about this, and he had no idea what they thought. And I'm going to see him later today, and I'm going to be very anxious to hear what happened, because it's a huge issue, a huge subject.
I mean, Argentina, by the way, I mean, South America is slightly different than we are, which is to say that the knowledge of what happened permeates the country.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
But what hasn't happened in many places is acknowledgement, which is to say taking it on and admitting. I mean, it's a private knowledge. It's a guilty knowledge.
Yeah.
People don't talk about it. And whereas what this allows is for people to get together and say, yes, this did happen. I know it. You know it. And so forth. Now, an important thing about the United States, by the way, is for all of the way in which we don't know it, we know it too. I mean, how many times can we be shocked by this stuff? This was what the Church Committee was about in the 70s. You know, we are constantly being told this stuff, and yet we go into denial about it, into disavowal about it.
We have a particular propensity for that, which is a little hard to understand. We deny things and relearn them over and over and over again, like we have a brain disease or something.
It's funny. In one of my other lives, I'm the director of the New York Institute for the Humanities at NYU, and we just had an incredible conference called Shocked. Shocked. Just how many times can a country lose its innocence?
Right.
I mean, by the way, I mean, when you're talking about the United States, it's a country that is born of genocide and created on slavery. I mean, how innocent can you be to begin with in a country like that? I mean, a good definition of innocence is refusal to not to know.
Yeah, that's willful ignorance.
Willful ignorance. That's what innocence is. And so, I mean, but having said that, no less effective for that. I mean, people really do feel like they don't know, and it's just this kind of stuff that's deep back there. But one wants to say this about the. I mean, this isn't just. Country bashing, there are great things about the United States. I mean, for example, the notion that all men are created equal. That is a great American contribution to the world. And America is this drama of denial and striving side by side all through history.
Well, one of the things that this exhibition and this whole disappeared collaborative project, one of the questions that it raises is how close are we to something like this happening here?
Close, it's happening.
It is happening.
That's the rendition. What do you think? Those people in Guantanamo and so forth.
Right.
Literally, those people have been disappeared.
Right, that's
those
true.
Those people have parents looking for
that's
them.
Right. That's
and,
right.
And so forth.
They haven't taken our families away yet,
They claim they have the Constitution. The Cheney and Bush claim they have the right to do it. And they have packed the Supreme Court with a court that probably won't stop them if they try. There, you might have noticed, by the way, there was a Spaniard who had this happen to him, who sued in the U.S. Supreme Court and was denied the other day. He was not allowed. He had been mistakenly picked up in Germany, renditioned, disappeared, taken off the street. His family had no idea where he was. For 6 months he was being tortured. He eventually got out. Oh, oops, wrong guy. He sued in American courts, and the U.S. Supreme Court, the day before yesterday, said, "Oh no, tough luck." So that's what stands between us and that.
One of the things that you have in a place like Santa Fe is people who, when confronted with terrible things, try to find spiritual meaning in suffering, and I sometimes think that works up to a point until it gets too horrible. Is it possible to find spiritual meaning in suffering of the level that you had in Latin America?
It sure isn't for me.
I mean, I suppose the only thing I would say is that think about what this is all about. I mean, this is people who have been objects all their life, who've been little bricks in the wall, who suddenly, either as labor leaders, student activists, whatever it is, start saying, "No, I don't want to be the object anymore. I want to be the subject of my story," and they start asserting they don't want to be the object of other people's you know, blows, and they start asserting things. Those are the people who are then arrested. The function of torture is to take people who've been acting like subjects and turn them back into objects again. But resistance, and social resistance as a whole, and going back and looking at this stuff, is taking people who've been turned back into objects and turning them into subjects again. And no, I'm not going to be. So in other words, it's not so much the torture itself. There's nothing you can say that's spiritual about that. But the social response of, you know, the enlightenment, the coming, the acknowledgement that we were just talking about, that is a spiritual revolution. It is a taking back of one's subjectivity. And that's something you see with these artists. I mean, the torture victims are not spiritual, but what the artists are doing is profoundly spiritual, it seems to me.
And it's really interesting. It's 30 years later, but it's just still today.
Well, that's what happened. That's one of the things about... This is interesting, by the way, about why they were able to... Many of the militaries amnestied themselves as they were leaving power, but it turns out that you can only amnesty something you admit that you did. So, in other words, they cannot be arrested for torture or for murder, because that was in the past. But one of the ironies about somebody who's disappeared is they're still disappeared. So that is a crime that is going on in the present. And so you can take them to court for that.
But how do you know what evidence do they have?
There's always tons of evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's evidence that just...
Yeah. It's interesting, because all of these missing children, they have identified when they would have been born, what their ages would have been. I mean, they know who they are.
Now, people who were on the military side of the equation in Latin America, you were touring the show to those places. Do any of those people ever show up?
I have no idea. They don't talk to me if they do. You know, this is very complicated. This, you find out the identity of who you were, but it's also a huge issue, because you may be happy with who you are. You are the son of a policeman, you have been educated, you have a decent life, you're going to become a policeman, and all of a sudden you're told you're someone totally different. And I was thinking last night that when children here seek adoption, or they're adopted and they seek their parents, it's the parents who have to deal with the issue, whereas in Argentina and these countries, it's the children who have to deal with the being found and not knowing if you want to be found.
Well, the two of you will be, Laura Reuter and Lawrence Weschler, will be in conversation tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic, and people can call 988-1234 for tickets. People can also look on the website, which is thedisappearedsantafe.org, for more information about all the events and exhibitions and lectures and workshops and so on surrounding this event over the next 3 months. I'd like to say a special note of gratitude to the Lannan Foundation, who's brought so many people together to make all of this happen. And I want to thank both of you and the very quiet Juliet Myers.
It's fascinating. I've loved being here today. Thanks so much.
I want to thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes.
We're going to take a quick break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Tony O'Brien. He's the Director of Documentary Studies at the College of Santa Fe, and he's here to tell us about one part of this Desaparecidos collective collaborative project. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
So one of the artists in the site Santa Fe exhibition is an amazing artist named Fernando Traverso,
yes. He's from Rosario in Argentina.
And he is actually in residency and doing a workshop at the College of Santa Fe.
At the College of Santa Fe. He's been there all week. And part of his exhibition, it deals with bicycles.
Now, one of the ways, and this is one of the sort of terrible, horrifying things about this the imagery in this disappeared, is when people were taken off the streets, people knew they were gone by their abandoned bicycles.
Right.
And he actually stenciled the image of bicycles all over the city of
Rosario.
There
were 350 people who disappeared, and Fernando has gone about the city stenciling 350 bicycles on walls throughout the city. And the exhibition here will, at the site Santa Fe, he has stenciled bicycles on banners, silk banners. And here He has asked us to get members of the school, the College of Santa Fe, different organizations and people from the community to come in and to paint banners. And we've made banners that are about, 3 feet, 4 feet by 9 feet. And different individuals have painted the banners in memory of the disappeared and to make a statement about the disappeared. And then during the workshop, Fernando has asked them to come and with them stencil black bicycles on these banners. And then they will be hanging in the exhibition at the Marion Center.
On the campus of the College of Santa Fe.
At the campus of the College of Santa Fe.
So there's been all sorts of community participation in this.
Yeah, it's all about community. And Fernando feels very, very strongly about that, to bring the community together and to make a statement as the community. And it's been remarkable, the people, how people have participated. And I have to say, actually, it's funny, I was walking in to see you today, and there were three bicycles up against a tree outside. And I find myself now, whenever I go around Santa Fe, when I see a bicycle, it sparks a memory in me. And I think that's also a hope that we have with this, to just bring awareness in the community, and in some ways to keep the memory of these people and alive.
We're talking to Tony O'Brien from the College of Santa Fe, Director of Documentary Studies. This is a documentary, if there ever was one. What is the opportunity of the public to participate in this work with Fernando Traverso right now?
Well, actually, up until now, we've asked people from the public to be involved and to paint the banners. And now, I think the greatest tribute that from the public can do is to come and be part of this whole experience. That's really what it's about.
So for more information, people can look at the website, which is thedisappearedsantafe.org. They can go to the exhibition tonight at Site Santa Fe. The opening is from 5 to 7 in the evening, right over there on Paseo de Peralta. And the conversation with Laurel Reuter and Lawrence Wechsler tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lensic. What's happening at the College of Santa Fe?
The College of Santa Fe, we're going to have the exhibition is going to be open tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Marion Center of Visual Arts. And it will go from 3 to 5 p.m.
So Fernando, that's when the opening there. Is.
Yes.
And Fernando Traverso will be there, and then it will be running for a period of several months?
It'll be. That's the other thing that's so wonderful about this, the whole collaboration, which I think is the first time in the history of Santa Fe with all these organizations. But the exhibition will be up for the next 3 months, and we would hope that anybody that would like to come in and do a banner would be more than welcome in that time. And also our students have been working with Fernando. We have 5 or 6 different interns that have been working who have been remarkable. And also what we're doing is our interns are going out into the community to a few schools to hold a 2-week curriculum on human rights. And then later in the year we will be out at Santa Fe Place and have
the mall formerly known as Via Linda.
Right, yes. And be out there to bring awareness and to hold various little workshops out there.
Well, Tony O'Brien, thank you so much for being with us on KSFR.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me.
Tony O'Brien is Director of Documentary Studies at the College of Santa Fe. We're going to take another little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Robert Knott. Stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he's here with us today, as he is just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome, the handsome, the inimitable, the inevitable, Robert Knott.
Oh,
you.
Me. That is a tough act to follow. I mean, that's really dominating the whole weekend, and maybe we'll talk a little
and
bit.
And so it should be,
exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But we'll talk about it near the end of the program in case people just tuned in, so
okay.
We don't have to reiterate.
Los Desaparecidos, the disappeared.
And first I'm going to break tradition a little bit, because I love working for the New Mexican, as imperfect as I may be and as imperfect sometimes as we may seem. And I just want to honor some of the people at the paper who won some great awards from the National Federation of Press Women, and that includes Julianne Grimm, a terrific lady and a terrific reporter who got first place in news reporting and third place in investigative. And she's a really good lady and a good reporter. And Pasatiempo's own Andrea Shapiro probably a very overlooked copy editor, and she writes terrific headlines and cut lines for us, and they make a big difference. And she won first place. And a few other people in the paper also got awards. Jane Phillips, photographer, Melissa Martinez, page layout, and Phaedra Haywood, who has a terrific fashion column. Anyway, there's a page ad in the APASA, page 90. I just had to honor them all. Before we talk about horses.
Horses.
The Tropic of Capricorn. You
know
where they are?
No, it's not me. It's one of the painted ponies from a few years ago.
He's my friend. I pet him, and he's very friendly.
You pet him?
Yeah, he's straight from the horse's mouth, and that ain't hay. Anyway, the Tropic of Capricorn is having a two-day event. If you like horses, like I like horses, and they're doing a whole bunch of horse stuff, starting with Fitness for Riders at 10 a.m. Saturday. Tropic of Capricorn, by the way, is out on Old Las Vegas Highway. They're also going to do Nutrition for Horses, Horse Demo and Discussion, Treating Colic, C-O-L-I-C. Is that how you pronounce it?
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be a visit from the Santa Fe Horse Shelter's Jennifer Rios. So there's lots of stuff having to do with that. The Horse Demo includes ground schooling your horse, safety, and something called a soft feel. I think I tried that as a teenager in the backseat of my Ford Comet back in the 70s. I used to get my face left all the time. Anyway, there's a lot of horse stuff going on. Sunday also, Nutrition for Horses, Dynamics of Horse and Hoof, and more on colic. Man, they're really overdoing that, huh? Tropic of Capricorn, go on out for the horses. And you'll love this, Mary Charlotte, small dog rescue pet adoptions from noon to 3 on Saturday.
I know. I was going to read that announcement, but now you've done it.
Take us home.
Sea Gallery, sea as in cool, has an opening reception for Undercurrents by Gay Patterson and Light as Art. That's Italian lighting, done in an artistic style, I assume, by Catalani and Smith. Sounds like a vaudeville team. It's 5 to 7 p.m. tonight, October 12th, Sea Galleries at 708 Canyon Road. And if you're up Canyon Road, there's other openings you might want to know about. Argos Etchings and Paintings, Bad Beasts, paintings and drawings by Greta Young, reception 5 to 8. They're at 821 Canyon Road. Did anybody ever tell you to come over to their house and look at their etchings?
No, they never did.
I had a woman do that to me once, and the next thing I know, I have to pose for her with no clothes on. The Fire Dragon Color, I know nothing about them. They're at 2754 Agua Fria Street. They have art by architects. It's a group show tonight, reception 5 to 7. McLary Fine Art, 225 Canyon Road, has a great title, Every Cowgirl Has a Story.
Remember that has to be a true statement.
That's terrific. Remember that old song? Every cowgirl has a story. New paintings by Donna Howell Sickles, reception 5 to 7 p.m. through mid-October. And Wild Angel Studio, 821 Canyon Road, has mosaics by Jane Larson, jewelry by Diana Cooper, paintings by Shirley Lynn. They got an opening tonight, 5 to 7:30. Canyon Road's going to be a hotbed of artistic visitations, not to mention creative shenanigans.
Whatever you're talking about.
Right. Stage-wise, this is the weekend of The Merchant of Venice.
I know. I want to go.
Well, I wrote a piece about it on today's PASA. It's the Arden Players in the Santa Fe Playhouse presenting that rollicking comedy, which is really kind of a drama about revenge and people owing money and all that glistens ain't gold. It opens tonight at 8 at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It's an Elizabethan gala.
I know. They're having period food and drink.
What's that mean?
It means, I don't know. I mean, what is Elizabethan beer?
Chicken on a big thing. And I know. I'd like to get my hands on that. 8 o'clock tonight. Go over to the Playhouse to 988-4262. Runs for 2 or 3 weekends. The Blue Room is still running at the Army for the Arts. It's naughty. It's set in the bedroom. 1050 Old Pecos Trail, 984-1370. More politically speaking.
Why, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
I bet you are. You're wearing blue today.
That's true.
That must be some sort of antithesis to everything we're talking about. Speak Truth to Power, Voices from Beyond the Dark. It's College of Santa Fe's Performing Arts Department doing a take on Ariel Dorfman's play, directed by Pete Zapp, based on the book by Carrie Kennedy. 8 o'clock tonight and Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday, your last chance. I plan to go this weekend. I also plan to see Merchant of Venice and hopefully the Blue Room. And for those who are looking for more frivolous fare, in case you're wondering what frivolous is, it means
lightweight and shallow?
Well, at least you know nobody's going to, like,
silly and fun?
Stump on you, or you're not going to drown around shallow people, that's for sure. People know where they stand with you.
Oh, well, my friend Nancy and I have a whole thing that we do called going off the shallow end.
What do you mean, like jumping off a dock into 2 feet of water?
No, it's like going to Kmart and buying toenail polish.
That's shallow?
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
I wish I were there when you did it.
Well, I like to go by myself. I usually go around 3 in the morning when they're not open, and I can, it's a good time to visit my bank and take out a deposit. Anyway, you're a good man, Charlie Brown, up at St. John's. If you're looking for stuff with Snoopy, 8 o'clock, Great Hall Peterson Student Center, St. John's. Could be a good one to take the kids to. You do got to pay to get in. 984-6104, and they run through the weekend. Chris Calloway is going to be singing with the Burt Dalton Trio tonight at 8:30 at the Silver Starlight Lounge, Rainbow Vision Santa Fe, which is on Rodeo Road. Got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number, 428-7781. Then if you want to look at Saturday, you're sitting there saying, what can I do on Saturday? I got to mop the floor, watch reruns of Cimarron Strip on the Western Channel. Got nothing else to do. Dwight Hackett Projects has an opening called Birds. It's bird-themed work if you like birds. It's an art show. They're out on All Trades Road. Reception is 3 to 5. They do Saturday afternoon receptions. So if you're out there, you know, let's say you're at Kmart getting some toenail polish, swing by the All Trades Road to see Dwight Hackett's Projects Birds, 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday. Also, the Pop Gallery has Double Dare You. Ooh, remember that? When kids used to say that to each other, Mary Charlotte?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever double dare anybody?
Nope.
Did they ever double dare you?
Probably not. I had the sort of do unto, don't do unto anyone else what you wouldn't want done unto you ethic when I was a little kid. So I didn't, I sort of stayed out of that type of thing.
Huh. That's interesting. I always say treat others like you treat yourself. That's funny.
How that's not entirely dissimilar.
Oh, maybe not, but it's still a little bit the same. Pasión Flamenca, Juan Cidi.
Juan Cidi.
Yes, what do you know about that?
Rebecca Carmona. We had them on the air this week.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They're flamenco dancers. He was a principal dancer with Maria Benitez and now has started his own company of musicians and dancers. And they're doing a flamenco performance at the Lodge at Santa Fe.
At 8:30 on Saturday. Here's the phone number, 473-1638.
Hey, the president's analyst, marvelous
the
and fantastic Ted Flicker. Yeah, it's probably 40th anniversary now of that great film, which is screening at the Santa Fe Film Center on St. Michael's Drive at 7:45 on Saturday only, and the writer-director, Ted Flicker, will be there.
In attendance. Terrific comedy, very much in the moment.
It's one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
James Coburn giving a very deadpan comic performance. Good work. Nice film. Alice Waters, you know who she is?
Yep.
Well, she's going to be around signing copies of her book, The Art of Simple Food, Notes, Lessons, and Recipes from a Delicious Revolution. Yeah, you got to use your colon.
It's good for your colon.
That's right.
Hey, Santa Fe, what, did you finish?
No, I didn't. I have to say this, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Did I finish? Santa Fe, she's not even listening. Santa Fe Farmers Market, the Vargas Center, North Guadalupe and Paseo de Peralta. It's free, but you got to buy the book. And Pat West Barker, our food page editor over at the New Mexican, did a nice piece on Alice Waters in today's PASA. Go right ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, well,
interrupt.
I was busy interrupting you, so I didn't even know if you were finished, but I'd let you finish. Monday at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall, the Santa Fe Art Institute's Visiting Lecture Series, Comfort Zone, with the Disappeared Collective Project, presents cinematographer Diana Taylor.
Uh-huh.
And she's an Academy Award winner as director of photography for the documentary Miles to Go, and the principal cinematographer for an HBO documentary, Common Threads, etc. She's going to be speaking about the role art plays in activism around the globe. And she will be at Tipton Hall Monday at 6 o'clock. And that's probably very much worth checking out.
And cheap to get in.
Super cheap.
Yeah, so check that out. Sunday, People Moving People. You get dinner, you get Middle Eastern dance. Benefits Moving People Dance Theater. It's 5 o'clock at Fusion, which is formerly Swig on Palace Avenue. You got to pay to get in. It's very hefty in terms of price, but that's because you get Middle Eastern stuff and you get food.
What was it called before it was Swig?
For a while, it was called The Living Room, and that didn't work out at all. 438-9180. I forget what it was before The Living Room. And on Sunday, also, Art and More is an auction and high tea event. I guess that means you've got to go up in the mountains and drink it. It benefits Casa Milagro, which is a Santa Fe nonprofit providing creative outreach and living opportunities for mentally ill adults. So this is from 2 to 5 Sunday at the Santa Fe Women's Club, 1616 Old Pecos Trail. It's not that expensive to get in. 474-7684, and former Pasa Tiempo writer Terry Thompson Randall came in and did a freelance piece for us, which is in today's Pasa Tiempo.
The Serenata of Santa Fe presents Auerbach, on Sunday, October 14th at 7:30 at the Santuario de Guadalupe, chamber music of Johann Sebastian Bach featuring Catherine McIntosh on harpsichord and many others. For more information, 989-7988.
That's pretty good. Is that like Pass the Bach? A little bit of classical
music. Really funny.
It's financial problems. Part of the Disappeared Project, which we can talk about now, includes the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, film series Restless Cinema.
Yes.
Which is a series of Latin American films, contemporary, that will be screening from this weekend through December 2nd at CCA, also at the National Hispanic Cultural Center down in Albuquerque. I did a piece on it in today's Paso. There's sort of a sub-program of Argentine films, and I looked at some of them. They're really interesting. They're not necessarily connected directly to the idea of the disappeared. It's more about filmmakers in that post-disappeared era who wanted to address other social, political issues through a variety of means. And really good pictures. Call 982-1338. There are several lectures in conjunction with this, including one at 5:30 on Sunday at CCA. What do you want to say now that we've passed about 10 minutes about the disappeared?
Well, we talked about the disappeared just this morning before you came on, and it is a collaborative project of events all over Santa Fe and very, very much worth seeing. It's profound and beautiful and important and relevant, and the exhibition opens at Site Santa Fe tonight from 5 to 7 in the evening. There's a lecture, a conversation between Lawrence Wechsler and Laurel Reuter, who were here on the show with us before you came on. Tonight at 7 at the Lensic, 988-1234. Somebody told me that there's gazillions of people who have will call tickets, so it's probably a good idea to go early.
Right.
Because there's going to be lines there.
I suspect you're right.
To get the tickets.
Meanwhile, part of that is the Institute of American Indian Arts. They're one of the collaborative entities in this. They're doing War Paint, which is military themed work by Native American artists.
And we're going to have them on the air in a couple of weeks. We couldn't do it yet, but that's opening this weekend.
That's right. It opens with a reception this evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Paul Weideman did a piece on it. There's a couple of other events occurring there, tied in, along with Site Santa Fe and CCA, with The Disappeared. It is the cover story in today's Paso Tiempo. Pick it up. It's only 4 bits, and you can read a lot about what's happening vis-a-vis The Disappeared. Hey, what time is it?
It is 8:53.
Movies.
Movies.
What have you seen?
Well, I was watching a VCR videotape of this movie, The Official Story, which was about The Disappeared in one angle of it, about the children of people of pregnant women who were disappeared.
That's about a 20-year-old picture, I seem to recall. It was one of the first ones
to come
out and really
address
terrific the
issue. Movie.
Is
terrific
it playing
movie.
Locally, and I missed that?
I don't know the answer to that. I rented it from the video library.
Oh, okay. A terrible picture I urge you to avoid, totally opposite spectrum, is The Heartbreak Kid. It's very bad.
Okay.
There's a little gem of a comedy called King of California at the Vargas. It's not getting much attention. Michael Douglas is in it. It's a very amusing comedy, really good acting. The Paul Haggis film with Tommy Lee Jones is superb, and the title is Escaping Me.
Escaping You?
No, I'm sorry. I can't believe this. It's really excellent. It's at the Vargas. So there's quite a few things happening there. Monday night, there's a staged reading of American Buffalo, David Mamet's play. Rod Harrison and Todd Anderson are going to be doing a staged reading.
Yeah, we're going to talk to them on Monday morning on
this
show.
And it's going to be at the Tin Star Saloon.
Oh, great.
That's great. It's sort of site-specific.
Yep. Hey, this is a little bit in advance, but people who are interested in volunteering for the Santa Fe Film Festival are invited to attend an orientation session at 11 a.m. on Sunday, October 21st at the Film Center. And I'm announcing that now so that because I'm not going to be here a week from today.
Neither am I.
Then the two of us will not be doing this announcement section a week from today.
So it's good that you're not showing up because it'd be embarrassing for me, wouldn't it?
Well, you wouldn't. I mean, you'd have some wonderful coffee to drink, but...
Did you ever show up somewhere where you thought people were and they weren't there?
Yes.
Like at a party you were invited to?
Yes.
And then they moved it?
Things along those lines. Hey, opening reception of the artwork of Destiny Allison at Crossroads Contemporary Gallery, first gallery on the left on Canyon Road. And then, let's see, Blues by Georgie Angel. That's 5 to 7 today.
Meanwhile, if you're interested in a lace-making demonstration, people from Enchanted Lace Maker are going to talk about their craft from 1 to 4 p.m. Wednesday at the Museum of International Folk Art. You get in by museum admission. That's on Camino Lejo. And that's in conjunction with the Big Fiber Human Tools exhibit. So people that like lace should go there.
Hey, gig tonight, the Master Musicians of Azerbaijan, 8 o'clock, gig special event, 1808 2nd Street. For more information, there's
no phone number.
There's no number.
It doesn't go phone number.
All right. And then tomorrow night at gig, the Nedra Wheeler Trio with John Rangel and Diego Arencon. And that's at 8 o'clock.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Wednesday in the day, there's an open mic format at the Santa Fe Community College. So the students are going to do their music, their readings, dance, art presentations. But it's odd. It's from 11 to 2. I don't know. I mean, that's not like a time I would go see a performance. But maybe if I was going to college, I would, because I'd skip class. It's at the Jemez Room, Santa Fe Community College on Richards Avenue. No charge. Feel free to go out there and see it. Did you used to, like, skip class a lot in college and go sleep in the library?
No.
Huh. No wonder I never saw you there.
Hey, on Tuesday, October 16th, at the Lenzik, Gypsy Wedding Music, Yuri Yunakov and his Romani Wedding Band at 7 o'clock at the Lenzik. And he's the founder of one of the biggest stars of Bulgaria's wildly popular wedding music scene. He's a saxophone player and so on and so on.
Who's getting married?
No, it's just the music. It's just the kind of music. Yuri Yunakov Ensemble toured with Gypsy Caravan, bringing that music to American audiences. So that's a rollicking good time at the Lenzik on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday at the College of Santa Fe is a lecture demonstration with Yuri and the band from, did you just say that one? 11 to 12?
No.
Is that what you just said? It's at 11 to 12 a.m.
That's odd that it's the same time.
On Wednesday, October 17th, at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space in Benildas Hall at the College of Santa Fe. For more information, it's 473-6017.
That's very bizarre to me that you're playing wedding music and nobody's getting married.
Well, there's always somebody getting married. It just might not be at the Lenzik at that moment.
But it's April and there's a Christmas concert. Isn't that odd?
That would be odd.
Huh. When can I start singing Christmas songs on the show?
Right now.
Silver bells, hanging out here with Mary Charlotte. I'll start singing when I come back in November.
Hey, tomorrow morning on Camp Love Wave, at 10 o'clock, the director of the film Zeitgeist will be interviewed on Camp Love Wave. And for one more thing I wanted to mention is that Impact Personal Safety is offering a 20-hour women's basic course. It actually starts tomorrow. It starts Sunday. For more information, 992-8853. That's a women's self-defense course.
Where is that?
I don't know where they're having it. 992-8853 if you want to know.
There we go again. People don't put this stuff on. What time is it?
It's time to go. It's 8:58.
I just got here 2 minutes ago.
No, you got here a half an hour ago.
I did.
The wonderful and amazing Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's here with us every Friday speaking of the arts. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be back.
But we won't be together next Friday.
Or the following. I'm off on a break.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be back like November 9th.
I'm going to have total Robert withdrawal.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll let me come on and talk next time.
Robert Knott, thank you. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know who you are.
I know, but I'm talking to my audience out there. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la Carta. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Robert Knott. Mary Charlotte.
City sidewalks, pretty sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. You'd be good.
Ciao.